It is indeed the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Guillermo Mash on behalf of the Without a Roof radio program. And you are indeed listening to 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Also, be aware of the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
I'm Scott Huber, your 2018 candidate for the Chico City Council. After serving on the Chico School Board from 2002 to 2006, I've spent the last decade actively involved in protecting birds and their habitat as president and conservation director of Alticao Audubon Society and Northern California regional representative to Audubon, California. Now I want to use my leadership skills to protect our community. Chico's a special place. It's what brought me here 38 years ago. I'm ready to help meet the challenges of keeping our community safe and thriving and making sure that all opinions and solutions are heard. That's not happening under our current council majority. We need a city council that encourages discourse, listens to concerns, deliberates responsibly, makes decisions openly, and respects all of our citizens. I'll work to keep our citizens safe, our public places clean, and our businesses thriving, while at the same time treating the less fortunate humanely. Developing mutual respect between citizens and our police will avoid the types of tragedies we've seen in other communities and experienced right here in Chico. I'll support the efforts of our police department to create more foot and bike patrols that help us humanize each other and lead to safer interactions. Supplementing our police and fixing our infrastructure takes revenue. Right now, millions of dollars in taxable sales are being transacted without the city making a penny. I'll work to see that commercial cannabis sales are responsibly regulated, away from schools, neighborhoods, and retail establishments, so we can collect the hundreds of thousands of dollars in annual tax revenue that's currently being pocketed in under-the-table transactions. Like most Chicoans, I understand the need to balance growth with quality of life. The city's general plan envisions smart growth, vibrant neighborhoods where people not only live, but can walk or bike to work, schools, shopping, and greenways. I'll support well-designed projects that grow Chico sustainably and maintain our agricultural and natural resources. Getting the word out about my candidacy is not cheap, and it seems as though small-town politics has become a big-money game. But I believe that big donations create an opportunity for favoritism and biased decision-making. While other candidates in this race may court a small number of contributors for big donations, I'm seeking a broad base of small and medium-sized donors to help me win. I won't accept any individual donation over $500, and I'm grateful for any amount that you're able to contribute. Balanced, responsible governance starts in small towns and cities like Chico and trickles up to regional, state, and national politics. Your support of my campaign plants the seed of inclusive and responsive leadership. Thank you.
All right, here we are. We got the man behind the voice. Scott Huber's in the studio. Welcome to KZFR, Scott Huber.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you for putting that together. I really like how that sounded and how it played out. Why in this particular point in your life, Scott, are you deciding to run for city council?
It just feels like the perfect time for me. I'm 61 years old, about 5 years away from retirement age. Feel like everything has sort of built to a crescendo. I feel confident in myself. My kids are grown and out of the house. My wife and I are in a really good space. And I have the time now to put a lot of time into this community. And so
I'm glad you're doing that.
Perfect.
And, you know, since this is radio and, you know, for the TV audience, you don't look a day over 60, Scott.
I've been told that. Thanks.
We're giving you a year. So let's talk a little, you know, obviously this is a show about poverty and poverty. And I think 25% of the people in Butte County are in poverty and about half of them are no more than twice poverty rate. But, you know, we're here to talk about some of the issues related to poverty and the manifestations of folks that, you know, don't have a place to live. So, In your little script there for your kickoff, you talked about, you know, treating those, you know, destitute folks humanely. What do you mean by humanely, Scott Huber?
Let me start by saying I don't pretend to have the answers to what's going on, not only in Chico, but throughout the country, as far as people with being without houses. But what I will say is, for me, every solution starts with the heart and remembering that we are in any sort of solution to the situation has to start with remembering that we're dealing with fellow human beings. And so I guess that's what I mean by treating people humanely, is remembering that that's the basis for any solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure is. And, you know, one of the things I like is, you know, I did some video work with Scott and I met with Scott a couple of times. So I've had a chance to drive around in a car with you. But that's one of the traits I like about you the best, Scott. I mean, you don't seem to be someone that wants to make a decision without all the facts, unless you're really under the gun. And something like homelessness, you know, a lot of people haven't dealt with the issue of poverty and homelessness. And there's a lot to it. So I really respect the fact that you kind of reached out to me and others to kind of learn more about it. What have you learned so far?
Wow, I've learned so much in the last couple of months. I think a lot of people have reached out to Charles Withen, who's working with CHAT on the Simplicity Village project. And I've learned a lot from Charles. I'm meeting with the CHAT board, sort of an impromptu meeting tomorrow morning, to discuss some concerns and questions that I have about the project. I want to be able to... I've been advocating for Simplicity Village among some of my developer and contractor friends. They have concerns about various aspects of the projects. I want to be able to have answers so that I can bring these people into the fold, realizing that projects like Simplicity Village really are part of the solution, because I believe that it all starts with shelter. We know that shelter is one of the primary survival factor when people are wanting to get into survival. There's water, there's food, there's shelter, and shelter tends to be the most important thing. My little bit of research in talking to people without homes, the number one issue that they've identified as needing is shelter. So I'm trying to understand the situation as well as I can, reaching out to as many people. I'm trying to get an appointment with Laura Kutsona so I can understand what's behind the Jesus Center move and what her goals are there. I'm trying to understand all of the different aspects. I've got some developer friends that I've sat down with, and I've heard their concerns. One, a friend of mine lives across from 1 mile, and he has some really major concerns about he and his family no longer feeling comfortable in the park, and the fact that there are no longer birthday parties in the park because the park is so occupied with people without homes. So yeah, there's a lot of different opinions to hear. And I've got 11 months till I run till the city council election. And then after the election, you know, we'll start dealing with, I'll be able to start dealing with this issue. And I hope that I hope that I've got some clear direction at the end of 11 months.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough issue in that a lot of people, very few people are quote-unquote subject matter experts. It's not many people that are going to be Bill Mash that's been working this for 6 years on the streets in journalism. And I think there's been a tremendous unknown and a tremendous amount of fear that's been festered up, you know. So people look at people that are quote-unquote look like they're down and out, and they put these images in their heads about, you know, being threatening. And, you know, the one thing I learned early and often is the homeless folks feel less afraid, are more afraid of people that are housed than they are the homeless community itself. And I just would like to try to, in this space, to, you know, make people aware that, you know, for me, Scott, I've been doing this for 6 years. I've been under bridges. I've been sleeping outdoors. I've never been attacked. You know, and I think the level of threat that people are going to provide to you, or, you know, this, a lot of these stereotypes are just a little bit off base. And but I can say, and maybe I'll turn it back over to you, is I do know when I got to Chico in 2012, you know, I met with the parks director a couple of years past that, 2014, there's been this huge push, you know, not only the Sit and Lie and the Waterways Act, but sight line and elevation. So they went through all the parks, and sight line is so the cops can drive down the road and see, and elevation is cutting down all the low limbs. And they basically push people. And what you'll know, find out, Scott, when you do this is homeless people, by and large, and that's a large majority of them, where they're pushed is where they go. And I think you've gotten to a situation where folks are more visible now because they've taken away all their other spaces that they can physically be at. You know, one thing I wanted to talk about, I got this little clip I was telling a little bit of Scott about confirmation bias. And I heard this really good, I'm going to play it right now, just a little piece of it, 2 minutes. But confirmation bias is a real, you know, scientific discipline that has plenty of evidence-based solutions or evidence-based behind it that shows that, you know, generally human beings have a confirmation. So when they hear something that's outside, if they're hearing a conversation and part of it's outside their beliefs and some of it's in, they're gravitating to what's inside their beliefs and they're pushing away what's outside their beliefs. And we're going to have a conversation around that with Scott Huber after we listen to this clip here on Peak Power Radio.
This is Hidden Brain. I'm Shankar Vedantam. There are certain issues where we just don't see eye to eye with people on the other side of the political aisle. Often, it feels like we don't just disagree over policy, we can't even agree on the facts.
I think people are mostly just set in their ways.
I would say I'm right objectively.
The facts prove that there is global warming. I mean, I don't know how you can dispute it.
But everybody thinks they're right.
I think they're wrong. I think they're making a huge mistake because security has to be a very big issue.
My guest today has spent years studying the way we process information and why we often reach biased conclusions. She says it's surprisingly difficult for us to change one another's minds, no matter how much data we present. But just a little bit of emotion, that can go a long way. Tali Sharot is a cognitive neuroscientist at University College London. In her upcoming book, The Influential Mind, she explores how our minds work, why we ignore the facts, and how you can get people to actually listen to the truth. Tali, welcome to Hidden Brain.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Some months ago, you were listening to a Republican presidential debate, and candidate Donald Trump was asked a question about the safety of childhood vaccines. Here's what he said.
You take this little beautiful baby and you pump. I mean, it looks just like it's meant for a horse, not for a child. And we've had so many instances, people that work for me just the other day, 2 years old, 2.5 years old, a child, a beautiful child, went to have the vaccine and came back and a week later got a tremendous fever, got very, very sick, now is autistic.
Tali, you're a mom, you have 2 small children. At the time Trump said this, one of your kids was 2 years old, the other was 7 weeks old. Describe your emotional reaction to what he said.
Yeah, so when I was listening to Trump at that debate, I was already quite concerned because I was a mother of a small child, so you're always concerned about the health and safety of your kids, especially when they're only a few weeks old. And so it really tapped into this fear that I had and the anxiety that I already had. And when he talked about this huge syringe, a horse-sized syringe that was going to go into the baby, in my mind, I could imagine the syringe inserted into my small little child and all the bad things that could happen. And this was a very irrational reaction on my end because I know that there is not an actual link between autism and vaccines. But it's not enough to have the data. Dr. Ben Carson was on the other end.
Well, let me put it this way. There have been numerous studies, and they have not demonstrated that there's any correlation between vaccinations and autism.
But that wasn't enough because the data is not enough. And even if the data is based on very good science, it has to be communicated in a way that would really tap into people's needs, their desires. If people are afraid, we should address that.
Without a Roof Radio program, 5 to 5:30, Wednesdays, made possible by generous contributions, KZFR supporters, and by Legaro Marketing Services, helping businesses, associations, and nonprofits stand out with outside-the-box promotional products. Whether it's branded apparel for your staff or an event, or promotional products with a purpose, Legaro tailors programs to meet its clients' needs. To learn how LogArrow can help your organization through target marketing, visit logarrow.com or call 355-8685. All right, Guillermo Mashi with the Without a Roof radio program. If you want to find out more about Without a Roof, I'm going into 6 years of doing this. Look us up. Google Without a Roof, man. We come right to the top. And our guest for today is Scott Huber, a longtime resident, 38 years here in Chico, California. He's running for city council in 2018. Thanks for running, Scott Huber.
Thank you, Bill.
Any comments on that clip we just listened to before I kind of transitioned to this point-in-time survey stuff?
Well, you know, a lot of the stuff that Shankar presents, know pretty intuitively before he says it. And I would say that people start out early in life with some biases that they never really escape. And everything that they view is through that lens for the rest of their life. For instance, if you grow up thinking that the world is a place where everybody should take care of themselves, other people believe that the world is a place where people should take care of each other. Whichever side of that you start out on is the way you're going to view the world later in life. And you're either somebody who believes that the government should help people, or the government shouldn't help people, or there shouldn't be any government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously, you know, maybe we're both kind of older. It seems to me there used to be a lot more middle ground where people would kind of, you go, okay, I understand your point. You understand mine. How can we come to some sort of agreement on how to move forward? But now it's just partisan. It's like my way or the highway, you know, and I'd like to see that change. I know you would, because your slogan is Scott Huber for all, right?
I had this conversation the other night. I'll come back to the for all in a minute. I had this conversation the other night with my wife about why we've become so polarized. And I truly believe that corporate America has been pushing the media to sort of focus on these issues that drive a wedge between us, push us to one end or the other, to satisfy, you know, the profit base of corporate America. But when we don't agree, they make money, essentially. But back to your question about for all, you know, when I was thinking about a slogan for this campaign, I thought about the current city council and why I decided to run in the first place. And the reason that I decided to run was because I went to a number of city council meetings, and I came to the conclusion after watching the public comments at these meetings that the council majority tended to give an ear to the people who were on the same side of issues as they were, and perhaps looked like they did, and perhaps were in the same socioeconomic class, and they tended to not give any credence, any movement toward people who didn't look or act like them or didn't have any apparent standing or place in the community. And I'm a Libra. I've always thought of Libra as somebody who likes balance. Mm-hmm. And so I like to balance both sides. I like to hear what the people like me have to say, and I like to hear what the people who are not like me have to say. And I don't want to shut down either of those viewpoints, because I'm probably going to be somewhere in the middle. I'm not going to be at the extreme end. I'm going to, you know, if both sides have a point, I'm probably going to believe that a compromise is in order.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, I mentioned to you before, I've actually been in, I can't go to a city council meeting where people don't cringe over our current mayor. I mean, and a lot of times he physically attacks the folks that sit to his left, and he comes across as really rude. And anyway, I'm looking forward to getting a different majority on the council and getting more discourse going. So
I plan on working with the current mayor for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and think that we're going to get along great once I get on the council.
There you go. And I know you got enough strength that, you know, whether you get along or not, you're going to be moving issues forward. That's the biggest thing, you know, sticking up for the folks in the community.
That's right.
And I appreciate that. But I played that whole confirmation bias thing, kind of bringing this back to city council. And the context was they did such a wonderful job at the point in time survey this year. You know, I'd raised some concerns on the one in 2015 and blah, 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 blah. But 2017, they did an amazing job with the homeless point in time survey. And it kind of cemented a lot of things anecdotally and otherwise that I've done from doing street journalism here in Chico and helping people for 5 years. But I'm going to read this and then talk a little bit about the reaction from the right and the left around residency. That's a big one. The right wants to believe everyone's pouring in here because they can get free meals, and the left is going, that's not what we see. But they talked about residency, and the survey data shows that more than three-fourths of the adults and unaccompanied youth have lived in Butte County for more than 3 years, and more than half of those surveys have lived in the county for over 10. Almost 80% were living in Butte County when they became homeless, and nearly 90% confirmed that Butte County is their home. Let me repeat that. 90% confirmed that Butte County is their home. Those not originally from Butte County moved to, there's a big bold here, moved to the county for reasons analogous to those not in a homeless situation, such as family, college, quality of life, job opportunities, I'll add a few, children, college, health. This is what I've seen and was concerning to me, and it was nice to hear that the brain thing from NPR, but it was literally confirmation bias in motion because, you know, Renette Filmer and Coolidge, anyone on the right, at one point Renette Filmer made the point of, well, did you follow up with those people to verify their data? And they just went after the data versus trying to even conceptualize what was in front of them. Matter of fact, looking at body language, and as a journalist, Scott, I do that all the time, and as a poker player too. They just presented everything that they heard they didn't like. They would just roll in their eyes. And what would you add to that? I mean,
well, I would say absolutely a big part of that is sort of this self-perception that they've had of themselves for a long time. I think another part of it, though, is that they have a need to be in line with all of the people who have supported them. And, you know, I think there's a very strong internal drive to keep the people happy that were good to you. So that's something that I think that elected officials need to work against, is believing that they need to come to conclusions based on who supported them in their campaign. Because what they really need to do is put aside who supported them in their campaign and follow their heart and do the thing that they know is best.
Mm-hmm. And now, looking at your website that just launched, scotthuberchico.com, you've got your dossier of stuff you did. And for this program, obviously, you pointed, maybe not obviously for listeners, but you pointed to your little line item for doing the 2009 Homeless Point in Time survey. Since we're talking about it like that, I'm going to turn the mic over to you real quickly. But it's a good point. I just looked at the data. We've essentially doubled homelessness by the point in time count in 2009, the first one, to 2017. I'm getting a hard time with the years because we just changed. So, yes, the homelessness has increased. What was your experience on that point in time, and anything to add around that?
Sure. Well, you know, at that time, I believe that was the first time that the survey was done, and it was advertised quite a bit. So I and another friend thought it would be a great idea to get involved in that and have a better understanding of what was going on out there. And what we found, at least on the transect that we were given, which was along Little Chico Creek between Bruce Road and over to Humboldt, was that there at that time there were not a lot of people in that section. There was evidence of some encampments, and I think we did encounter a few people at one or two encampments, but in general it was not a big number at that time.
Mm-hmm. That you saw physically saw it down
there. That's right.
Yeah, that would make sense with twice as many homeless folks and more places to be. You only have a few more minutes, Scott, and I've kind of gone through all my 3x5 cards here, other than the important things about, you know, how to learn more about your campaign and any announcements you have.
Sure. Thank you, Bill. So we've got our campaign launch party coming up on January 11th at NV Hair Studio, which is right between the building that was formerly called Pete's Coffee and Woodstock's Pizza. So it's wedged right in between there. It's a nice little space. And we'd like to pack that with supporters or people who are just interested in finding out a little bit more about my campaign. I'll be giving a short talk on my positions and why I'm running and that sort of thing. I'll also be listening. I'm very interested in hearing what's at the top of the mind of a lot of people out there. I'm always surprised when somebody has an issue that I hadn't really even considered much. But there are certain things that are very important to people that are out there that I would love to hear at that event. And then we've got a series of fundraisers already started planning. We've got a big bike ride called Bike the Border.
Ooh.
And it will take people on all of the streets that make up the boundary line between Chico and Butte County. It turns out that that's about a 30-mile ride. And so it'll be a full-day ride. We're hoping to have, 100 people or so. We'll have kind of the typical swag that you get on a bike ride, T-shirts and hats and that sort of thing. Maybe have some sort of game, somebody suggested a poker ride format for it. So that'll be kind of fun. I've got a number of musician friends that have promised that we're going to do some, maybe a small concert, benefit concert to support my campaign. We've also got a very esoteric fundraiser, which is a big day birdathon. We're going to have birding enthusiasts from all over Northern California go out and count how many birds they can in a day, and it's sort of a competitive thing, and they'll pay an entry fee to be in that, and that'll be a fundraiser. So that's kind of the few of the things that are on the immediate agenda.
Well, it's nice, Scott. I like I said at the front of the show, I appreciate you reaching out to me and others to learn more about the issue. We're happy to have you on the show, too.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
I can imagine you coming back as well. So we got to get ready for Non-Human Radio. Jeannie's in the house, going to be getting ready. You want to learn more about Without a Roof, like I said, Google us. We come right to the top. And obviously, we're a nonprofit, man. If you like what you hear, and I know you do, go on out to kzfr.org and hit the chip jar. So until next week, be safe, be happy, and always remember, if you have a roof, be grateful.